Hello and welcome to another SNL Energy Podcast. I'm Senior Editor Jennifer Zajac, and with us today is Suzanne Sitherwood. She is Senior Vice President, Southern Operations, and President of Atlanta Gaslight, Chattanooga Gas, Florida City Gas, with AGL Resources. Good morning, Suzanne.
Good morning, Jennifer. Thanks for having me today.
I know you're super busy, so I appreciate you taking the time to speak with us. I thought we'd start off by you kind of giving your background. You've been in the business for 30 years, and you started off out of engineering school. Can you talk about how you got into this sector and what your career's been like over the past three decades?
It's interesting. I grew up predominantly on military bases, and I moved every 2 years of my life. And when I entered college, I needed a co-op job. So I started as a co-op student, actually, with Atlanta Gaslight Company. And it was kind of fun when I showed up. I saw trucks and mechanical things moving around, people in uniforms, fences with barbed wire at the top. And to me, it just looked like a military base, so I was quite at home. So that is how I ended up at Atlanta Gaslight.
And how has the sector changed since you began working in the field in terms of women moving up in the ranks and being in leadership positions?
Changed in the energy sector over the last 30 years. I would mention that I moved every 2 years of my life. It's similar at the company. I changed positions every 2 to 3 years, with the exception of two positions, the one I'm currently in, which is 5.5 years. So I think part of my good fortune, besides, again, being supported by some wonderful mentors and so forth, is I change jobs frequently, which the added value of that is I have a lot of breadth in terms of the industry and certainly in terms of retail business, which is predominantly what I'm in.
So changing positions. Any other advice for women who are in this career or looking into this career as far as networking groups?
Yeah, I would say a couple things. One, and I generally mentioned it, but along the path, make sure you do have a mentor. And when I say a mentor, it could be someone informal inside the company or outside the company, because you need to constantly sort of assess the next position that you think about, what I need to do to improve to be able to obtain that position. And having a mentor support you and closing that gap is quite meaningful. And even when I first started here, my gap was I didn't know a lot about the business. And quite frankly, the mentor were the guys that were in the uniforms. They taught me the business from the ground up. The second thing I would say is, like anything, really study and understand the business and the industry that you're in.
Did you go up to the maintenance guys and say, I'm really looking for a mentor, can you give me some feedback? Is that how you handle it? Or you're just watching and deciding, going to watch this person and hopefully learn some things?
My initial positions, I started in the field as a co-op student and when I first graduated from college. So here I was 20 to 24 and I was riding on trucks out in the field with our employees, asking them questions. And I was lucky too, because several of them, they had daughters and sisters and that they wanted to see success, and so they sort of took me under their wing and taught me the business. And so it was a great way for me to start, and I wasn't, quote, intimidated by that. In that, again, I grew up on military bases and I was used to being around planes and people in uniform and carriers. It just kind of all seemed natural to me, because this was 1980 to 1984.
Well, let's shift into talking a little bit more about the industry. We wrote back in November 2009 how AGL completed its Magnolia Pipeline project, and that connected the company's service territory to the LNG imports, the liquefied natural gas, arriving at Elba Island, and that's near Savannah, Georgia. Suzanne, are you seeing that you're using more LNG now for as part of your fuel supply?
Well, because Atlanta Gaslight is in a deregulated market, and of course we're regulated by the State Commission, one of the things we do each year is we file what's called a capacity plan. And so in that supply portfolio, we show where all the gas is coming from. And a piece of that is from, like you just mentioned, the Magnolia Pipeline. So the marketers themselves are responsible for bringing the supply in. I have responsibility for contracting the transportation service. So each marketer daily goes to market and tells us where the gas is coming from. They also have the ability to, when they're not using their supply sources and not using the transportation sources, of using them in the market for other purposes. So it's a long way of saying that the marketers really have that discretion and they can pick from that supply source based on what they see in the market.
But are you seeing an overall increase, or has it been low just given the low demand because of the economic recession and the low gas prices?
Yeah, in Georgia it's a little more complicated with the deregulated model. What's happening is the power generators are using a lot of the natural gas for power generation. So yes, Magnolia, Elba LNG is moving. It's moving into the market for purposes of power generation.
Can you talk a little bit more just about your outlook on natural gas demand overall? Obviously, LNG, it was talked about as going to be the fuel early in the decade. Now everybody's talking about shale. Obviously, climate change policies, that's going to make coal more expensive. So, and it seems like everybody's looking to build more natural gas-fired plants going forward. So with all that said, Suzanne, what is your outlook on natural gas prices?
We're optimistic, and for the reason that you mentioned, up until about 2 years ago, the shale play was not something that was on the radar. Now, understanding that and having the technology to bring that gas to market, from my history, there was always this 10 to, at one time, 50-year reserve. Now we have up to 100 years of supply, and it's a domestic fuel. So therefore, I'm very optimistic that natural gas has got to be part of the solution, and I think we'll see that play out over the next decade or so.
Suzanne, you've been involved with a couple of rate cases lately. Can you talk about the rate cases that AGL Resources' various subdivisions have filed for lately, their outcomes, and what it's like right now to file for rate case increases given the economic environment?
The rate case that AGL currently is in the middle of is for Atlanta Gas Light Company, which is our largest utility. And we go to hearing August 10th, and the commission will decide it October 28th. We're always sensitive about filing rate cases. We know that there is an impact to our customers when those bills go up. So we've spent a lot of time and effort in analyzing what we file at the commission. That being said, currently, Atlanta Gaslight hasn't had a rate increase since 1993. And because of what we just talked about, the supply picture, you know, natural gas is down around 450, let's say, sort of on average. And the last rate case we had 5.5 years ago, gas prices were at $10, $12, and $14. So actually, on a retail basis in this case, we've asked for $2.95 a month per residential customer. But when you look at the total bill, even if the commission said yes on $2.95, the truth is our customers will be paying significantly less than what they were paying 5 years ago. If they don't like to ask for increases all in, our customers will be paying less.
Suzanne Sitherwood, is there anything that we didn't talk about or anything else you'd like to add?
No, I just appreciate your time and interest very much, Jennifer. I really do.
All right, and that wraps it up. Thanks again for listening to another SNL Energy podcast. I'm Jennifer Zajac.